and welcome back to another episode of Tabletop Crowd. I'm your host, Kristen. I am here tonight with a group of wonderful people to talk about a very special project called Exia. I'll go ahead and let them introduce themselves, and then we're going to jump in and get started. So, Charlotte, why don't we start with you?
Hi, thank you for having us. I am Charlotte Hamilton. I am the community manager for Strawberry Fields Interactive, and we're developing Exia. And my pronouns are she, her, and you can find me on social media at Foxfire22. I guess Danilo, if you want to go next.
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Danilo Correa. I'm a producer and co-founder at Strawberry Fields Interactive, one of the co-curators of Exia. My pronouns are he, him, and you can find me on Twitter at Danilo CG Correa.
Hello, everyone. My name is Thales. I am a producer and founder at Strawberry Fields Interactive. For this project, I'm taking the role as product owner. My pronouns are he and him.
Well, again, thank you all for joining me this evening. I'm really excited to talk about Exia. To get us started, Charlotte, if you don't mind, would you tell us a little bit about what this project is?
Definitely. So Exia or Exia or Aexia, there's like a million different ways to pronounce it. Any of them will work. It is pronounced, or sorry, spelt A-E-K-S-I-A. If you want to find us on the internet, you can search for that word and you'll find the meaning of our name as well as our website. We are building a virtual reality, virtual tabletop and social platform for tabletop role-playing games. So games like Dungeons and Dragons and Pathfinder, Vampire the Masquerade, Powered by the Apocalypse, Warhammer, anything out there that's a tabletop role-playing game, we're making a VR platform for that. You can play any game you have on there. You will have the tools from the very start to do whatever you want to do to get your game set up, as well as being able to join with friends and future party members to meet and greet and talk about the experiences that you have in game and the games that you really enjoy playing in the hopes of converting someone else to your game system. Because sometimes it is hard to find people to play your niche game, your indie game, some of the lesser known ones. We're going to have a place for that all in VR.
I heard you say not only is it obviously virtual reality, but it's a VR tabletop RPG and a social platform. So it sounds like folks won't just be able to have the great opportunity of playing tabletop role-playing games with other folks, but they also will have a way to have social interaction as well. Is it going to be like Zoom where you can have conversations, or is it to talk? What does the social platform side look like?
Of course, yeah. So if you can think of a virtual reality environment, it replicates the real world. Top of it, you have all the magic that you can do with virtual reality, in which you don't need to respect the laws of physics. Right. So imagine a 3D scenario, 3D environment, and each player and each user would have an avatar that they can control and zoom around this environment. And after, in their environment, they will be able to meet each other and talk as if they were having a common conversation in real life. And from there, in that social area, they can join other players to have a tabletop RPG campaign, or to watch a campaign that is currently live and public to people to spectate. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a question first on the avatar, which is it an avatar that's going to be assigned to you, or is it something that you can kind of build yourself?
In the beginning of the game, actually, like, each player will also have a private area in which they can get set up and learn more about the experience before they get exposed to other people, right? It's nice to have that private area in which you can, before you kind of get face-to-face with other people. And even if you don't want to get face-to-face with other people, you can have your own private area. In their area, players will be able to choose from a list of options what avatars they want to have. And the nice thing about avatar technology is probably early on, we will start with a simpler way of choosing avatars. But as time goes and as a project progresses, that system can become more complex and will allow players to actually choose the type of body they want to have, the type of skin color, hair, you name it. Like just as you would do in some other video games, you would be able to do that in virtual reality as well. So that would be a digital representation of yourself in VR.
Okay, now I'm just planning my avatar. Okay, and so I also heard that not only can you play in campaigns, but you can watch folks play other campaigns if those games are public. So I want to hear about being able to watch other campaigns, but first, as someone who is not very familiar with virtual reality, and maybe some of our listeners are not as well, can you explain a little bit about what will the experience of playing a tabletop role-playing game with other people be like in virtual reality?
If I can think of this social interaction, the main thing is the environment that you would have with other players around the table in virtual reality with an avatar to represent yourself, right? So the experience of the virtual reality tabletop would not replace the real world experience, right? It's a lot of fun to get together with your friends and have fun with them. But when you don't have the opportunity to be face to face with them, or if your friends no longer play and you want to meet other people, virtual reality experience is a great space because you get the advantage of the virtual world in which you can be anywhere with anybody at any time you want, right? But you also get some of the real world aspects of the experience as well. So we will be able to talk to people. And let's compare it to Zoom, for example. It's normal on Zoom when you're talking and then maybe someone will talk over you because they were not able to kind of get the social cues to indicate that you were talking, right? And that's how environment in virtual reality can help as well, because in a 3D environment, you would be able to first hear where the sound is coming from. So you would know who is speaking to you because the sound is directional, right? Mm-hmm. And if someone speaks over you, it wouldn't be that much of a problem because it's kind of far on the corner. So as if you were in a networking event in real life, right? There are people speaking on the background, but it doesn't bother you that much because it's not right on your ear. Mm-hmm. So these are one of the aspects of having virtual reality to do the social experience, right? It is relatable to the way we speak in Zoom or other meeting platforms online nowadays, but it adds a lot more complexity that will help replicate the real life experience, right? And the avatars are one of them as well, because as I said at the beginning of the system, they will be simplistic, right? And you have probably hands, a core body, a head. But as technology progresses, you can make them more complex. And then when you speak, you can see their mouth, your avatar mouth moving as you speak, or you can do show some other emotions, wave your hands, right? So all of these are parts of ways to communicate. Mm-hmm. And that's why virtual reality improves a lot on that part of the experience itself. I can also go deeper a little bit more into the whole, what is it, what's added on top of what you would have in the actual reality as well.
I've got something else to add to that too.
Please.
So as we know, as tabletop roleplay gamers, when we're at a table, you have your whole world around you to distract you. Even if you're playing online through Zoom or like Google Meets or something like that, you have your entire world around you that can distract you, whether it's your phone, your kids, your pets, your significant other, any notifications on your computer screen. The nice thing that I have found with VR is when you put on your headset, it's immersive. So it's not like you have that screen in between you and what you're doing. You are putting yourself, essentially you're stepping into the role. And everything else that's going on outside of your field of vision is now gone. It's all right in your field of view. So you don't have your phone going off, people looking at their phone, everything is there. You're looking at everyone else as if they're at the same table with minimal distractions. That's kind of one of the things that I found going through like training with VR and our first sessions of testing with Ixia itself is how immersed you get in what you're doing. There's nothing else from the outside world that's kind of getting in.
No, that makes complete sense because my partner and I are both in gaming and we both occasionally do live streams or podcasts. We have to record or be live and we can't do it at the same time because we have two small children. So even when, like right now, my partner is with our children, if I were to forget to lock the door, then one of them would be right here with their little head popped up saying hello to my friends on the computer, as they call them. And also over here on my other screen, I have a bunch of stuff popped up and I haven't looked at it because we're in a conversation, but were this a game and it were someone else's turn, I might be looking over here for a second and see what's going on. So I hadn't thought of that aspect. That makes a lot of sense, as well as the social cues, right? Because you're right there with that person. Like you said, you can do hand gestures and facial expressions and you have more of an interaction that way.
Yeah. One aspect of that that we've already got implemented is what Danilo was saying was when you're talking, you see the mouth moving, which was kind of really neat when I seen it for the first time. Because like I'm completely new to VR. I've been in this for like 2 months now and I'm blown away by the technology and what we're trying to do for VR and tabletop roleplay gaming.
Only a different experience. It's not to replace real world, but it's for you to have a different experience. And even RX doesn't want to replace your imagination, because a lot of the fun of RPG is about your imagination, right? So I actually want to enhance the player's experience, giving visual, sound, cues for you to fill out the gaps in your brain, right? So it's totally different from anything that you could experience in real life and does not replace it. Again, it's just different.
I'm curious to hear how playtesting is going and how much of the software has already been developed. Meaning, have you all been able to get in a game and actually play a game together in virtual reality?
Short answer, yes. We have been able to run complete campaigns. Usually we do a one-shot campaign because it's shorter, sweet, right? It's best for the moment of the game. But IX is a platform, so it's never going to be ready. Features are going to be added as time goes by. We plan to launch it, and we're not going to commit to dates, but let's say end of 2022. And the features that we're going to have there will definitely allows you to play full camping. Like you can play with your friends, those year-long campaigns, multiple year-long campaigns, no problem. But definitely as time goes by, we're going to be improving, adding more features to the platform. We're going to be launching with a few campaigns that people can already use of, or GMs are going to be able to create their own campaigns with the tools that we're going to provide in the beginning at the launch of the platform.
Can you play any game in this, or will it be specific games at first? And then, like you mentioned, as technology develops more, the ability to play different games will be added.
From the very start, you can play whatever game you want. So there's no limit on that front. It's just as time goes on, we'll have additional support for specific systems, because we've got like the standard D&D system. You have your D10 systems that White Wolf is popular with. What is it, Powered by the Apocalypse is a whole bunch of D10s as well, isn't it?
It's a 2d6 game.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I played Cult and that one was with D10s, I think. The D6 system from Free League Games will be getting some attention as well to really round out the whole D6 experience, because D6s are the best dice, in my opinion. But.
So you can play any system from the beginning. Okay, that's very cool. Right. So I'm also curious to hear a little bit about, one of you mentioned that you'll be able to watch folks play other campaigns. Is this going to be similar to now how we watch a live stream?
Yes and no at the same time.
Okay. Tell me more.
I think nowadays, if you if you follow VR at all on the current streaming platforms like YouTube or Twitch, you will see that it's already possible for the virtual reality player to show what they see in the virtual world through their computer screen, right? And as long as they have that image on their computer screen, they can show that on Twitch or YouTube or whatever the medium. So that's going to be possible right away. But the additional experience for viewers, for spectators in general, would be that they can also join the session in virtual reality. So let's say you are in the social hub, you will see what campaigns are currently open for the public, right? So, and then you would join that session in a way that you would be kind of in the same environment as the players, but they would not be seeing you, and you wouldn't interact with them directly. We are thinking of ways on how to make interactions there similar to how it works on social media, maybe with some icons or emoticons, right? But no direct communication, so the audience cannot disturb the gameplay. However, but that's a piece of the what I thought about when I first thought about this idea, right? Because I was listening to a podcast from Brazil, one that I like a lot. It's from the folks called Jovem Nerd, which means young nerd in Portuguese. And their podcast is called Nerdcast RPG. I don't know if we can do any other podcast promotions here, but if anything, you just cut it.
No, it's fine.
I was listening to them, right? And I thought how cool it would be if I was listening to their story, right? And they do a lot of post-production. They edit the gameplay and add sound effects. They create some sort of audio drama experience. And I thought it would be really fun to have the feeling of being in the same room with them while they're playing it, right? Because I don't only like listening to these campaigns, but I'm also a fan of them. So it would be almost as if I was watching you as they record it, right? But the nice thing is that it's also not limited to virtual reality users only. From the beginning, we want to make it a cross-platform application. So people that are accessing, that don't have a virtual reality headset, for example, but they have access to a computer or a mobile phone, they could watch the campaign as well. Okay, so how that's going to work is player on desktop can watch, or they could even be a player. Being a GM would be more challenging, but I don't know who, as Tali said, this is a platform that will never be, so we will never stop developing it, right? So as technology progresses, we can probably add that option as well. In the mobile phone version, potentially, we will experiment with an augmented reality version. The users will be able to watch the campaigns through their mobile, right? So wherever they are, they would just join, open the application on their phone, and then being able to see if it's in augmented reality, they could just look around on their living room and make the players pop up in front of them as if they were in the living room. That's how augmented reality is. I could actually get a little bit into more detail about the general topic of augmented reality if you want as well.
Yeah, will you tell me a little bit more about it? Because I don't know a lot about it, and I'm guessing some people listening may not know. So if you want to expand a little bit, please do.
Virtual reality will completely replace your physical world, right? So you put on the headset and you won't be able to see anything other than what's virtual. When it comes to augmented reality, what you would do is you would add virtual assets into your real world. Today, the main way to engage with augmented reality is through mobile phones, but there are already some headsets that like sunglasses, right, that you can wear. And what they do, they will add, like, they can add creatures or paintings or any digital asset that you can imagine in front of you, but it looks like reality, right? So it looks like in the same environment as that digital creature. When it comes to Aixia, for example, what you would be able to see is the virtual tabletop and the players around that virtual tabletop in your living room. That's how it would look like. And today you would probably be able to see it through your mobile phone screen. Mm-hmm. But in the future, you can wear, not in a far future, headsets or glasses are already existing, but they are more expensive and they're mainly being adopted by corporations at the moment. But as technology develops, it will get cheaper and cheaper. And in the next few years, you will see a lot of consumers using that as well. But an easy way to relate to that is think about Instagram or Snapchat, right? They are already using a lot of augmented reality features in their social platform. Whenever you see something on top of your face, or maybe Pokemon Go as well, that you can capture the Pokemon around the real world. That's augmented reality, right? So people sometimes are already using the technology, they just don't realize it. Yeah.
As soon as you said Pokemon, I was like, oh yeah, I've done that. So I do know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you for sharing that though, because that's very cool. So so folks may be able to use Exia with using augmented reality, like with a mobile phone, and not necessarily have to have the VR equipment right away. Is that correct? Am I understanding that right?
For an spectator, right? So if you want to watch
yes.
it, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what changes, you have access to the same digital world. What changes is the way you interact with it, right? The interaction mm-hmm. system is different.
So another thing is like, think about layers. So for you to be a GM, mm-hmm. you're going to need to have a VR set. For you to be a player, either a VR headset or a desktop computer. Mm-hmm. If you're an spectator, either VR, desktop, or mobile.
That is a really good breakdown. Thank you.
Welcome back to Beholder to One Shot, an actual play show under the banner of Beholder to No One, where we usually play non-D&D one shots.
Is a conglomeration of many Furbies.
Oh, f**k, oh, f**k, oh, f**k, oh, f**k, oh, f**k.
15.
Dang it. We're two baby adventurers.
We're level 4.
Is that the right direction?
Shh. Oh, wait, we're speaking telepathically. Yeah.
That's your feelings. You know it to be true that one of you has a really annoying voice.
No!
Not it!
Each of you roll a doy and explain why I shouldn't be the one to stomp you if you, like, get an extra doy for that.
I got a 6.
There's a good reason.
A 5.
That's also pretty good.
Got a 4.
Slightly.
It's okay.
I made it to another town, but it's not stopping. Is it me? Am I causing this? Am I the reason? And they go into ramblings of a person who thinks that they are the one that is causing this chaos. Check us out wherever podcasts can be found every other Thursday on Beholder to No One.
A little bit about how this idea came up, right? Listening to a favorite podcast and thinking it'd be very cool to be able to be in the room with them. How did you start making the idea a reality?
I think the first step after an idea is to write it down, right? First, what happened, I wrote down a paragraph. And then if the idea sparks anything, it starts to get into a bigger text and a bigger text. And then your brain starts working and you make other connections. You start to extrapolate your ideas and it becomes a thing, right? So that's how it happened with me historically with this project and other projects, right? Mm-hmm. And the next step after that, after you have some sort of idea in your head of what it is, you start talking to other people. And at the beginning, it may not make sense at all to other people. And that's when you need to start refining things and maybe bringing the scope down and everything. And one of the first few people I talked to was Thales, right? My business partner. We were colleagues and friends. We've had experience working together or we have as friends doing some other sorts of activities. And I knew that he was an experienced player, right? Because me personally, I played a lot of tabletop RPG when I was young, but for a long time, right about when my adult life started, at 14 years old, when I started working. I kind of got far away a little from video games and other, any other type of games, right? And as I later in life, I began to appreciate that again and come back to it. And nowadays, I see myself, for example, as a I love spectating the tabletop RPG campaigns, right? So I love watching it and playing it occasionally. But so far, I haven't committed to a long term campaign again anymore. I enjoy the audio drama experience, right? And the other hand, Tali is because I knew he was an experienced player. He can talk about his experience more. But like I know that he's been playing since the very first time he played it, right? Mm-hmm. I thought, well, it's probably a good opportunity for us to get together and talk about the idea, right? And that's when we started extrapolating to other things as well. So first, the idea initially is very subjective, right? It's hard to materialize. And as we talk about it, as we break it down, as we see the current state of technology, we can make it more, materialize it better. And that's when we started talking about like how it could potentially be a social experience as well, not only virtual a virtual tabletop experience, as well as adding because we see so many people getting interest again in tabletop RPG because of podcasts, right, and streaming platforms and all of these content creators that are coming back to it. We saw that it was probably something needed as well from the community to be able to watch the campaigns and not only being around in an enclosed room with their friends. Yeah, but opening up that experience was key as well. And yeah, that's pretty much how it happens. Later on, you can illustrate things, right? I myself am a terrible drawer. I'm a terrible artist. So we had other people helping to illustrate the ideas, right? And if in Aixa's case, it seems like I never had anything big blocking it. Like anytime I talked about it, and I talked to the right people as well, people were getting excited and they understood what I was talking about, right? And it evolved. And nowadays we already have like an early prototype, and we have a team working on developing and promoting the idea, which is great. Yeah.
I can talk a little bit about the process if you guys want to, like how we got to where we are.
Yeah.
And after the little pitch, the idea to me, a few rounds of iterations were done. We committed some personal funding to create a drawing concepts, and we brought some people to help us with that to get the idea more well-rounded. With that in hands, we went to Canadian Media Fund, CMF, and we pitched our idea to them, and we got the round of conceptualization from them. So they really liked the idea. And with that little fund, we put it a more concise market research. With that, we were able to apply for also the prototyping phase for CMF. And what is the name of the other fund, Danilo?
It's Creative BC's Creative BC Interaction.
With that, we started very strong our prototype, right? It was a lot of validation for our ideas. So Danilo, in the very beginning, actually put a little prototype himself. He coded a little room with some of the ideas that we had in mind to see if that would even feel good to be in the room and playing game, right? And I was surprised how natural that felt, right? To be in that room and to be very focused on the campaign and everything, the storytelling aspect of the platform, right? That the platform provided players with. And with the prototyping fund, we were able to put a great team together. Everyone in it is very passionate about the idea. Everyone gets it. They brought in ideas themselves, so became really a team effort. It's not our product, it's the team's product. Everyone is contributing with their own ideas to the project. So we are pretty advanced on the prototyping. We're actually finalizing it by September, end of September, right? The prototyping itself. So we have come long ways validating the ideas and trying things out, seeing what worked, what didn't work, and changing things around until we really feel like right now we got to a point where we have a very solid base to create on top of.
Yeah, it sounds like it's been quite a process and you all have put a lot of work into it. And it sounds like a wonderful idea. I mean, I'm sold. How long have you been working on this, if I can ask?
Yes, the idea first came around May 2019, but it got serious in August 2019 when we had already applied for the CMF conceptualization fund and incorporated Strawberry Fields Interactive, which is the company that owns the VIP for Aixia. Yes, that's how long it's been around.
I was curious to hear how Charlotte first got involved.
I've been looking at making a jump into full-time community management. I was doing that for a few years before, part-time for various tabletop role-playing game companies, mm-hmm. And other communities as well that focus on tabletop role-playing and inclusivity in gaming. And I was looking around and seeing the ad, and I applied. That's kind of that story.
And how long have you been working on it? A couple of months, you said?
Yeah, 2 months right away here.
Nice. So you just jumped right in because you talk about it like you've been working on it for a long time. So you must have just jumped right in.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. First thing I did was got a new laptop and Oculus headset just to be able to do what I need to do, right? And yeah. Honestly, it's easier to buy a laptop ready for VR nowadays than it is to find a brand new graphics card. So
I clearly need to get an Oculus headset.
You'll not regret it.
I hear that. I hear that I won't regret it. I know.
Yeah. This side of the platform is still to be matured, but the idea is for us to have a marketplace in it, okay? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Content creators are going to be able to, of course, broadcast their campaigns, but professional GMs, artists of different fronts of campaign creations will be able to create these features and sell it on our marketplace. So for instance, a writer would be able to write a campaign and publish in our campaign, have a revenue share with us. And ideally we dream in a scenario where these players can live out of being a full-time creator within our platform. GMs, likewise, they'll be able to be supported within the game, within the platform, and be able to also make a living out of it. So any sort of asset that someone thinks and believes they can create and sell, they'll be able to do it. Visual, sound, voice modulation, sound effects, all that good stuff. We're gonna have a place for people to express their creativity and offer to the community and see if the community likes it or not.
So if someone wanted to make, let's say, music that someone else can use in their campaign, is that a possibility?
100%. So let's say I wanna do a bundle for horror campaigns, right? Mm-hmm. So music that is themed with something that the GMs can use for their campaigns, right?
Yeah, you can think of, like, let's say the production power that Critical Role has, right? A very well-known group in the tabletop RPG community. They have the budget and the equipment necessary to run a nice, a well-done campaign in a nice studio, right? With the right table and a nice background and music. I actually don't know if they play much music on their campaigns, but some content creators do, right? They have music as they go. So in virtual reality, the nice thing is that some of that will be a lot more accessible to everyone, because as again, you don't have the limitation of the physical world. So you can have choose whatever virtual background you want to have. You can add visual effects to your virtual environment. you can have as many dice as you want, and you're not that limited by the physical world, right? Mm-hmm. With the tools available in the Game Master dashboard, you kind of have the resources from a small studio per se to run in these campaigns as well. And again, like we talk about things that some are going to be implemented very early on the project, others will be further down the line. But there are some things that we don't even think of that may be interesting for players, right? And that's why we will grow engagement with real users more and more as we go, mm-hmm. To see what are actually the things that they would love to see in the platform.
I mean, all the ideas that I've heard so far have been very good. I think that one is awesome.
It's also community created. We are definitely going to have our own assets, but definitely whoever believes will be able to create something for the community who have their space. Actually, it's going to be more from the community than from us.
Right. And speaking of this being for the community, I know that y'all are going to do a Kickstarter. We'll have the date in the show notes of this episode so that everyone knows when it's launching or that it's live now while they're listening. But can one of you tell me a little bit about anything you'd like to share about the Kickstarter?
It's just a philosophy of like the Kickstarter campaign. Why we're doing, right? I think that it's definitely not for sales. That's definitely not what it is, right? It's I think the main reason is for the community to be part of it, to get to know and have a channel in which they can express their desires, what they believe is important for us to have a platform that's user-centered to engage the community, I guess, validate our ideas.
With the Kickstarter, we will have the opportunity to engage the community early on, right? And get some validation from them. It's one thing to build something awesome. It's another thing to confirm if people actually think that's awesome, right? And it's useful for them. So that's why a crowdfunding campaign is really important for us. We have many ways already of engaging people with the AXE platform and having fun with it. Even though it's going to be launched around end of next year, there will be a lot of things happening along the way for people that are early adopters to get involved with.
So folks who back the campaign where it's live, even though they may have to wait a little while, the actual platform, there will be ways to stay engaged or learn updates along the way, it sounds like.
Yes, and if people are interested, they can be involved in, let's say, we can think of a feature and or some assets that we would include. They can vote to help us choose their favorite content. We will also be releasing early versions of the platform for backers, right? So, arranging some play testing, so there will be people who have access to extra things and some early things compared to backers who have more access compared to the people that learn about the XR at launch, right? So, and we will have a lot more influence for sure in the applications. We have a Discord channel, we created a Twitter account and some other social media accounts to start getting engaging with the community, right? So if anybody wants to already start that process, we are there. We are very accessible. Charlotte is chatting and the rest of the team is chatting with the rest of the community every day on Discord. Just last week, we had our first live broadcasting of the AXE's prototype on in our Discord. So it wasn't like a public on Twitch yet, but it was available for the Discord community, and we are planning yet another one in August, so that will be a great way for you to see how AXE looks like today and kind of experiment expectating the campaign via Discord at this point.
Okay, so thank you so much for joining me this evening to talk about AXIA. I'm so excited for this Kickstarter. One more time, if you could just let folks know your name and where they can find you on social media so that they can follow you and learn more about this exciting project.
I'm Charlotte Hamilton, and you can find me at Foxfire22. That is FOXFYRE22.
I'm Danilo Correa. You can find me at Danilo, D-A-I-N-L-O, C-G, Correia, C-O-R-R-E-I-A. That's a nice Portuguese name.
I don't have Twitter, so my name is Thales Rodrigues.
Well, thank you so much for joining me again.
Hey, Amber here. I would like to thank you so much for listening to Tabletop Babble, Tabletop Crowd, and Tabletop Spotlight, all the tabletop things that we have going on here lately. For show news, announcements, updates, and all that jazz, you can follow us on Twitter at Tabletop Babble. Also, it would be really, really helpful if you left us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help the show out a lot. Anyway, thanks again, and we'll see you next time.